Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show's Christmas special. First, we want to thank all of our listeners and want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Hope you guys get to kick back and enjoy some basketball. Hey, and boy, oh boy, do we have a great show for you today. First, we have Zach Harper, Jay King, Josh Huestis, the Basket Buds gang previewing the Christmas Day games. Next, we have David Aldridge and Marcus Thompson with a look at the NBA's Christmas past. After that, the Nerdish Who Wrote crew, Dave DeFore, Seth Partnow, and Mo Dakiel bring you a very nerdy Christmas, followed by the Tampering Fellas, Sam Amick, Fred Katz, and Anthony Slater hand out some gifts to some teams in the form of some juicy trades. And finally, Slam and Jam Christmas with myself, Alex Spears, and J.E. Skeets of No Dunks. We do some Christmas trivia, and boy, it gets a little heated. There's some competition there. Hope you guys enjoy the show and the holiday season with good friends and family. And here is the Basket Buds crew previewing the Christmas Day games.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast, Basket Buds edition, Christmas Day games edition. That's right. We are previewing all five Christmas Day games for you. You sneak away from your family. If you're like Josh and his family, you open up all your presents on Christmas Eve so you get them game just locked in from the early morning game to the late game on Christmas Day. And here's what you need to know for it. We're starting it off noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can figure it out yourself in the other time zones. The Milwaukee Bucks are at the New York Knicks. This Knicks team, you know, Jalen Brunson's bound to drop 50 every once in a while. They're pretty good. Mitchell Robinson is out. But, guys, what are we expecting out of this Bucks-Knicks matchup on Christmas Day, Josh?
You know, I like the Knicks, but I do think the Bucks are playing well. I think the Bucks are going to win this one. Playing well, defense looks solid. Giannis is on a tear.
Yeah, Giannis looks pretty
good. Giannis is on a tear right now. Super motivated. Without Mitchell Robinson, obviously that hurts. The Knicks, I'm going Bucks.
Jay King.
The Knicks defense has just totally fallen apart lately. And that's bad against the Bucks. They're like, not having Mitchell Robinson, just bad against Giannis.
It's
just, they have not been able to overcome that. They're giving up a ton of points recently. And the Bucks, I don't know if they're figuring things out, but while they're figuring things out, Giannis is just trampling over people. So
should the NBA put a bow on the game ball when the game is done and hand it to the Bucks?
No.
Or is that a little too played out at that point?
No, they
want to see more of this tunnel charging stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see more of the fake fighting.
You got to embrace the beef here and just But have those game balls be free for alls after the game.
All right. Mm-hmm. The next game on the schedule that day looked better a couple weeks ago. Warriors at Nuggets.
Like 10 weeks ago?
Warriors at Nuggets. No Draymond Green, obviously. Who knows who else is going to play. But is there any chance? And it, Steph Curry just had his three-point streak snapped at 268 games. Jay King, is there any chance the Warriors make this watchable against the Nuggets?
No.
Denver has suffered a little bit lately.
Yeah, but Denver just punishes you for being small. They can pick on you for being too small. And right now, they're starting Curry and Podziemski.
Right. The Warriors are small.
Good luck dealing with Jamal Murray and Nikola
Aaron York Gordon
when Jokic. You have all those small dudes on the
ground. Like, they're big. Yeah, they're going to punish them physically.
Josh, at what point is this game a laugher? Second quarter, third quarter? Or I think maybe the Warriors find a way.
I think it becomes a laugher third quarter. Mid to late third quarter.
Yeah.
That's sad, man. It's just sad. Stephen Curry's still playing at a ridiculous level, and we're just saying, like, yeah, they're just going to get blowed out. And they probably are.
Yeah.
I feel sad that we're missing out on thrilling Steph Curry moments because the Warriors just suck.
Next game on the schedule, third game that day. This is got to be the premier game, right? It is the Boston Celtics at the Los Angeles Lakers. Jay, you'll be covering this game? I'm guessing not in person from the confines of your own Pelican.
Jared will be there. Jared's going to be there. Jared Weiss game, yeah.
What are you anticipating this game? Can the Lakers continue this rivalry against the Celtics and take them down?
I anticipate that I'll be on the couch eating rolls. Rolls?
You're just housing rolls by themselves? Yeah. Like the King's Hawaiian rolls?
Yeah, the big old bulky rolls with the butter on them. Them joints are good.
Well, I was hoping they wouldn't just be dry rolls.
Well, they're good dry, too.
What?
You don't like dry rolls? Then you're getting
Josh. What do you expect? I mean, other than this disturbing image of Jay
dry rolls
wearing like wearing a Jerry McNamara jersey on the couch, just housing dry rolls. What are you anticipating from the Celtics Lakers matchup?
Oh man, I like the Celtics here. You know, AD obviously he's got a week to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Again, you know what I mean? But just the question mark there, I just don't know. Notoriously, we know how he can be with injuries. But the Celtics are just clicking. They're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, they're pretty
incredible. They're just so good. They're just so good offensively, defensively. So Celtics rolls with butter, maybe some honey.
Oh, you gotta throw some honey. Maybe a little jam.
Oh, absolutely.
Jay, no honey too much.
Maybe a little jam, yeah.
Not a honey guy.
Not even a butter guy, apparently.
Butter guy. Not a honey guy.
Not on roll.
Okay. Just rolls.
Just a dry roll.
Just a dry roll, or maybe a is it a lot of butter or a little butter?
A lot of butter. Yeah, a lot of butter. Load those joints up.
Next game. Weird time for this game, man. Sixers at Heat. Sixers at Heat. The Sixers finally don't play the Pistons or the Wizards. The Heat at home on Christmas. Jay, what do you expect out of this this Sixers Heat game?
I think the Heat are going to take down the Sixers. Sixers are just beating up on nobodies right now as we record this. Embiid is ridiculous. But that Heat team can just ratchet up the physicality, ratchet up the defense, and I think they'll be ready for that one.
Josh, what about you?
I agree. Heat, I think. You get a little extra from Jimmy when they play the Sixers. You get a little extra from him, so especially in Miami. Yeah,
I'm going to take the Sixers, and here's why. Because the Heat need a couple of national spotlights of coming up short in the first half of the season for everyone to write them off.
It's all part of their
just shit. Seems to be the flow of it, right? And so I expect the Sixers actually beat them pretty handily. And everyone goes, oh, I thought the Sixers only beat the bad teams and everything. And they take down the Heat. And that is the fuse that gets lit for the
Miami Heat. All part of the strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then final game on the schedule. This one will be kicking off at 7:30 Pacific time, 10:30 Eastern on the East Coast. Mavericks at Suns. Josh, are we going to get more Luka Doncic, Devin Booker beef?
I hope so. I hope we get more of it. It's just going to come down to if all three are healthy. If all three, if the big three for the Suns are healthy, I think the Suns win this. If one of them is missing, I think the Mavericks win it. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this game.
Yeah, this is going to
take
be...
the over on this game. it'll be fun to watch, but it's just if it's going to be if the Suns are healthy, man. If they've got all three, I think they'll win it handily. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think that they'll be in control. But without the three, Mavs.
Jay, what do you got for Mavs Suns?
Luka. He seems to just have a signature game every time they're in the spotlight. And you know he's going to have something for Devin Booker. You know he's going to have something for the Suns. Their defense stinks. He'll be able to take advantage of a lot of holes that they have. I think he's just going to destroy them.
Yeah, I think I would go with the Mavs in this one. The Suns just aren't playing good basketball over the last like couple of weeks. Guys in and out of the lineup is tough. I wouldn't expect them to be healthy. Just because I don't expect them to be healthy anytime soon right Safe now. And it's been a little odd. Like at first it was like when Devin Booker got back on the court, things were great for the Suns, right? Like they look like a completely different team. I don't want to say teams have like caught up with them, but it hasn't been as seamless as it was when he first got back to health. And so the Suns need to figure that out. I think the Mavericks have a better idea of what they are right now. And so I'll go with the Mavs in that one. Make sure you're checking out all the coverage of your Christmas Day games and everything leading up to the new year and through 2024 on The Athletic. The Athletic is the best coverage of sports on the internet. Make sure you subscribe to that. Subscribe to The Bounce, your free email newsletter from The Athletic every day, and make sure you subscribe to this YouTube page. Happy holidays to everybody, whether you are opening presents on Christmas morning, whether you are having a great time with the holidays, whether you're just sitting by yourself, housing dry ass rolls on the couch, watching basketball, whatever you're doing to celebrate. Happy holidays from us here at the Athletic NBA Show podcast.
All right, Marcus, they want us to kill 5 minutes to give us some Christmas Day stories. I have one
bah
Christmas
humbug.
Story. Exactly. I'll do this because I've been asked to do it. But Christmas is always, first of all, if you're working Christmas, you're angry. Because you're working Christmas. You're not home. At least I was angry. I wasn't like, oh, wow, I get to do a Christmas Day game. This is great. No.
I love it, D.A. I don't really like Christmas, but I'm working. So I got a reason to not have to go visit people. It's like, I don't feel like talking to y'all anyway. So,
right. Hey, I got to like work. Anyway.
Then everybody know, oh, you got to work, right? Yeah, I don't even have to say nothing.
Even when you don't go to the game, right?
Yeah. You know, man, Christmas, it's a great out.
I got one Christmas story when I was at ESPN. So we were covering, that was when Sac was good with the Weber teams and they were playing the Lakers and it was in LA and they had had a fight preseason. It was, if I remember, it was Rick Fox and Doug Christie, I think, had gotten in a fight in the tunnel. It was a preseason game. So of course, it's, you know, Christmas Day game, it's a big deal. It was my first game for ABC and it was a big deal. But I was 3,000 miles away from home on Christmas Eve and not feeling so great. So I had gone to the Kings practice the day before on the 24th, and the Maloofs were there. You know, Joe and Gavin, this is big for them. Christmas Day game for the Kings? This is, we've arrived kind of moment. You know, like, or we're still relevant kind of moment. So I'm there, and they're like, oh, what are you doing? What are you going to do for Christmas? And I'm like, I'm covering a game, you know, and they're like, no, I mean tonight. And I'm like, well, nothing. It's Christmas Eve. I'm in Los Angeles. There's nothing open. It's everything. Everybody's home with their families. They're like, we're having a party at our sister's house. Come to the party. Like, and they said, it's only a few doors down from where Shaq lives. Like that was a selling point for me. And I was like, you know what? I don't have anything.
Walk over and look at Shaq's
house? No, couldn't walk over, but you could, you know, it's LA. You get in the car and you drive over. It was about 20 minutes from my hotel. So drove over there. And it was the weirdest party. They were so nice. All of them, the Maloofs, were so nice. And their sister was nice, Adrian. She was very nice. You know, do you have enough to eat? Do you have enough to drink? It was the most random collection of people I had ever seen at a party. Like, I'm standing there with a drink in my hand, and I turn around, and standing next to me is Martin Landau.
Wow.
Like, what? Huh? What am I doing in a room with Martin Landau? Like, this is so weird. And then the next day, they almost got in a fight again, and I believe the Kings came back and actually won that game in L.A., I think I remember that because I did the walk-off of Chris Webber. And that's my one Christmas story. That was a very weird time game, couple of days in L.A. That's it. What's yours?
Christmas is all right. I do have a story. Well, one like significant moment that I think one Christmas that really shaped the Warriors dynasty, or at least the next part of it, was there was one Christmas game. It was after... I think it was after the first finals. Might have been like 2016. It was Kevin Durant's first one with the Warriors. It was like Kevin Durant's first one with the Warriors. Right. After the Warriors lost the finals, they get Kevin Durant. And Steph was terrible in that game. He was like 4-for-11, couldn't make a shot. And they were very awkward. They still didn't know how to play together. And after that game, that's when KD told Steph, man, just do you. He was trying so hard to let Kevin Durant fit in and make it work, right. But he was terrible. So they had a conversation where KD's like, man, play your game. Like, I can fit any style. So you do you. And that kind of took off from year. But my favorite moment was probably the next year, because in the early stages of my career, and this is like black trauma being solved, right? Being cured.
Yeah.
I'm going to the locker room. You know how the players are. They don't say nothing to our non-black brothers in the media and sisters, right? They'll ever have critiques about them, you know.
Right.
We walk in the locker room. I go in with my guy, Sekou Smith, and, you know.
Yeah.
He taught me how to work a locker room.
Right.
And so, you know, at the time, Air Force Ones was a big deal. But, you know, Air Force Ones are the most finicky shoe of all time. So yes. I go in a locker room, and, you know, 2 weeks in, they're like, hey, man, it's time to replace them. You got a crease. Hey, man, it's... You're just trying to, you know, they're a little dirty, and I'm, you know, so I'm trying to buy Air Force One, trying to keep up with them, you know, they Jay Rich and them, Steven Jackson, like, hey man, it's time for new Air Force Ones. I'm like, man, I ain't got y'all kind of money.
Right? Like, yeah. These gotta last a little bit.
So in 2017, the first time I ever got like locker room compliments was I got a pair of Jordans. My wife got me a pair of Jordans for Christmas. They were the Win Like 96 Jordan 11s. They were all red. And when I came in, it was like people from the media weren't supposed to have those type of shoes. So everybody was like, oh, you got the – and apparently they was like tough to get for a minute. So it's like, oh, you got the Win Like 96. You got the win. I was like, yeah. You know what I do. Put my foot out. Yeah, check out these J's. Yeah, I got them. You couldn't get them, Mr. NBA player? You couldn't get them? I got them, though, right? It made up for all that trauma that was caused early in my career. Red Jordans on Christmas Day.
Saved your life.
Childhood avengement, basically. You know how you get that moment with that girl who dissed you? That was it. That was my moment. Shout out to Jordan Bell, who was like, hey, I was trying to get those, but I had them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was my moment.
Now you can tell the girl that turned you down for the prom, yo, I write books. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good.
You feel me?
I get awards. I get awards.
Nah, you know what? I'm going to let my wife tell her.
All right, y'all. Christmas past is done. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Bye, humbug.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Ho, ho, ho! We don't have our Santa hats, but it is Christmas time, and that means we're talking Christmas Day games, and we've been assigned the task of dreaming about Christmas future. It is very hard to get an NBA Christmas Day game if you're an NBA team.
First of all, Dave, I'm glad you started with ho, 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 because there was legitimately a debate in my family earlier as to who is the Grinch of this show, and it clearly wasn't you.
Right.
So it was either me or Mo, and so obviously the...
I'm the Grinch?
I say it's either me or you, Mo. It's 50-50 in any event.
It's 95. 5-5 you.
I don't know, Mo, you've got the little dog, so it feels like you kind of fit the bill there.
He's a happy dog.
What am I, Mary Lou Who over here? Is that who I am? I on our
no
show
idea. No, now we've Santa gone Claus. Too far. You're Davy Claus.
I'm Davy yeah. Claus. There you go. Well, I'm here to spread a little bit of Christmas future joy, because I wanted to speculate a little bit about the next few years, maybe not next year, but the next 2 or 3 years. It's incredibly hard to get an NBA Christmas Day game. I mean, they changed one team from last year to this year. The Miami Heat, who made the NBA Finals, got a Christmas Day game, and they replaced the Memphis Grizzlies, who maybe would have still gotten a Christmas Day game had Ja Morant not had his issues last season and missed the first 25 games of this season. Now, the Miami Heat certainly are deserving of a Christmas Day game, but we wanted to kind of look at our crystal ball a little bit and guess which teams were going to break into that exclusive club. And I think that there's maybe three front runners if we're looking right now at the future of the NBA. And I'll try to rank these in the order, and you guys tell me what you think about it. I think that first up, you look at the best team in the league right now. They have a certified star in Anthony Edwards. The Minnesota Timberwolves feel to me like a future NBA Christmas Day game team.
I think starting with what are we hoping to get out of the Christmas games? We're hoping to get the stars. We're hoping to make new stars. So for me, just, you know, going bigger picture a little bit, I would like to see a couple of the Christmas matchups be old star, new star. I think that was, we talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago. That was the best thing about the in-season tournament finale, is that it was, you know, LeBron against one of the new guys. And well, I'm sure we'll bring up Tyrese Halliburton later. But I think, especially since you can plan it, like, all right, Anthony Edwards going up against Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, going up against Jason Tatum, something like some kind of marquee matchup where it's like established star against up and comer. And that just, that creates some interest, creates some buzz, and gives a guy a chance to use a term that Mo doesn't like us using. Gives a guy a chance to get over.
Well, it's not that I don't like you use it. It's just you always use wrestling terms, and it takes me a while to figure out what the hell you're saying because I'm an adult. Great. It's, you know what, Seth? I am the Grinch. Let's just do that. I am the Grinch. We could just, that's it. Yeah, I heard myself and was like, wow, no, you are a jerk. Sorry, that was my inner monologue. The Wolves, the truth about it with the Wolves is just like, this is one of those teams we're going to look at. They're probably going to have a deep playoff run. I think that's one of the key ingredients to be the team that kind of takes that spot. And it's tough for a lot of small market teams. We understand the Christmas Day games has a whole lot of, flare and fireworks, and this is our flagpole stuff here, so it's always tough for kind of the smaller teams to kind of find their way in. But Minnesota is going to be a good candidate as long as they don't get bounced in the first or second round. Like, if they can get to the conference finals, then it sets up with a possible matchup, you know, of, hey, they play the Nuggets or the Lakers or whatever in the conference finals, and you can set that up as a future Christmas Day game if they have a really good series. And I think that's how you kind of end up with these types of games. Dave, I think they're a great candidate. They're definitely a team I would think about that would be, you know, probably invited to the party of getting to play on Christmas Day.
Another good young team, up and coming, has an all-NBA level player. I mean, he made all-NBA first team last year. He's probably going to be on a lot of MVP ballots this year. And their number two is the front runner for rookie of the year right now. The Oklahoma City Thunder, to me, feel like a surefire future Christmas Day team. Maybe not next year because they're not as good as the Timberwolves, but certainly in the next two or three years, this team is going to be poised to strike a conference finals. I mean, they are way on the way up. I mean, they've surprised me this year. I thought this was going to be like a 500 team, and if everything broke well for them, they're in that top six in the playoff race. But they're way better than I expected this early.
Well, Chet is way better than we thought he was out of the gate. And I think that's, I mean, we knew Shea was good. I mean, we knew Jalen Williams was good. We knew they had some good role players, but Chet coming out of the gate, looking like, a all-star in the making. I don't even think that's hyperbole at this point. Is sort of changes the dynamic of what this team can be. It's like, okay, well, they've got Shea. Is he good enough to be the guy? They have to find they got one. Now they have this, they have a very interesting core to build around. And I think two players who I think could easily be stars if they get some exposure. I think Shea has a very aesthetically pleasing game, and I think getting people to know him better would be a good thing for the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely a team. They're a team I want to see in the Christmas Day game now. Like, I want to see them now on the Christmas Day game slate, that, you know, and I think that's one of those things. You know, you talked about they might not be as good as Minnesota. I think they're going to be as good as Minnesota next year.
Wow.
Assuming everything healthy and all that stuff. Like, I just think they're right there. And I was kind of with you, Dave, in terms of what I thought of them coming into this season. Like, this is a team that's really kind of rise. It's almost like somebody on this podcast a few years ago told you, though, that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a star. It's almost, I don't know quite who said that. It might have been, it wasn't Dave, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't Seth, so it would probably me. But yeah, Shai's a guy you want to kind of,
I love. I love that this has turned into a Mo victory lap over saying Shea's too good for OKC to be bad. That's a way to turn. That's how you turn the tide. Now you're going to get free meals in Oklahoma City when you go. All right, and finally, now
I'm
this
not going
team,
there.
It's a great little city, man. I like it a lot.
Before we go to the third team, yes. I want to. who, like, I would be interested in a friendly last longer in the playoffs bet, OKC versus Minnesota, because I think OKC might be a more playoff ready roster than Minnesota.
I'll say this: if it's like the regular season and it depends on Chet, I'm not willing to bet against him. That's like, he has exceeded every expectation I had for him this year.
It's hard. That's a hard one, because it's you come down and I start thinking like, okay, how would I scout against them and whatnot, and who has the holes and things like that. The thing about Minnesota is like, they got like unbelievable perimeter defense too, you know? And I think that's part of and then having the eraser in Rudy Gobert is a big deal there. And I think that kind of makes him having those perimeter defenders makes his job easier, and it allows them to play defense as aggressively as they want. It's kind of the perfect marriage, which is something that we never saw in Utah. And I think that's, it's tough. And then, you know, the who lasts longer, you know how it goes. It's all about where you end up with matchups. I actually kind of think it'd be a fun second round series or even first round series with these two squads going at it. I think we'd have a hell of a time with that.
That'd be
or perhaps even though markets wise, it's a weird one, even as a Christmas Day matchup, this could be a fun one.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they need to do a Christmas Eve game for the up and coming teams and just, you know, it's like a showcase.
Don't do that. Give the people a night off.
No. Everyone wants to work on the holidays. Finally, and look, this one's a little bit of a stretch because it's not as good right now as those other two teams. But I think when you have a talent like Tyrese Halliburton, you have to try to put him front and center. And I do think Indiana has enough pieces. They could turn this thing around pretty quickly. I don't think that they're going to be a conference finals team next year, but you've got Halliburton in-house. You got a pretty good team around him. If they can upgrade that defense significantly, this could be a real, real good team. But if nothing else, coming off the in-season tournament and the buzz this team has had, if nothing else, guys, if the exact same team is rolled out there next year, you can guarantee on Christmas Day, you're going to have the number one and number two offense on the court at the same time, because the Indiana Pacers are going to put on a show, and so are their opponents.
The fireworks a week early. Yeah, no. And I think, again, if we're talking about star making, I think that he seems like Halliburton seems like the guy all around, between the pleasing game, good on the mic, as the wrestlers would say.
Cut a promo.
Yeah. Sure. And I, you know, I think Frank and, you know, the pregame feature on him would be fun too. So I think there's a lot non-basketball wise that would recommend that also. But I think that none of us think that they're going to be on the same level as a team as those first two.
No, definitely not.
I mean, they're not even close.
No,
like we're literally trying, we're talking about a team with a potential MVP candidate in Shea. And, you know, as great as Tyrese has been, probably not going to be that at the end of this year. And, you know, we're talking about the number one team in the Western Conference. You know, I think there's a lot of that stuff with them. Like, I think we are jumping too quickly on the Indiana bandwagon in the sense of, and I have them as a top six playoff team, but we're jumping too quickly and like, this team's going to be absolutely amazing. Like, some of it is, hey, let's see how it goes, because those first few games after the in-season tournament final were not too great for them. And I think, you know, they are coming down to earth a little bit, so I don't know if they're on that upper echelon. I'm going to throw a complete curveball, though, Dave. I'm going to throw one team out there that you're not even thinking of. Man, I want to see the Orlando Magic.
Ooh. I knew this was going to Orlando. You know what? I'd say this. That's a good, fun young team, but they don't have the sort of dynamic offensive player that I think you need to have to play on Christmas Day. You need the potential for fireworks, and Orlando just doesn't have that.
Paolo Banchero is offended. unbelievable playmaker the way he is and everything, you know, Franz Wagner, like, come on, man. I would put them in before I'd put Indiana in.
I mean, listen, I'll say this. If they play a Christmas Day game in Orlando, that's a great location on Christmas Day.
Oh, I don't think they get a home game. Easy now. They got to go on the road.
All right, that's going to do it for this bit, guys. Again, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for listening throughout the years. And happy holidays and happy new year from Seth Partnow, Mo Dekeel, and myself. Keep tuning in the new year. We're going to do some fun things.
Hello, everybody. Happy holidays from the Tampering Crew. I'm Sam Amick, NBA national writer at The Athletic, here, as always, with my tampering buddies, Fred Katz out east, Anthony Slater out west. Guys, on this holiday edition, first of all, happy holidays to everybody. Of course, we got a fun job here. We get to play Santa Claus. We get to put the hat on, put the suit on, and give out the gifts. We are going to be talking briefly and in depth here about the type of gifts that we want to give out mid-NBA season, because we need to put some smiles on faces where there might not be some. We need to get creative and think about, if you're digging into that bag of goodies, what are we giving out here, guys? You had a homework assignment. Fred, I'm going to throw it your way first. What are we thinking?
Well, we're giving out, we're creating trades, right? We're not just like lifting a player off a roster. And
you're delivering a gift. Whatever gift you want to give across the league sounds like to me.
You want a white elephant? You want something meaningful? You know, it's up to you.
I mean,
you are the architect.
There are a lot of things.
Live your best life.
There are a lot of things that we could come to. I mean, there are a few things that I think could be gifted quite well. I think the number one thing that I want to gift to someone right now, though, above all else, is I just want to gift a win to the Pistons. That's all I want.
That is all that needs
to happen
here
in this league. Yes. Yes. That is all that needs to happen. Just a win for the Pistons. I watched their game last night against Utah. And I have
how much
to say,
you watched, like, end to end? You just were locked in to Pistons Jazz the whole time.
I don't think James Edwards is watching end to end anymore.
Unfortunately, James Edwards is watching end to end. And if you read James Edwards's fantastic column,
it's very
from
good
this morning about how the Pistons fan base is so passionate and deserves better. Here's the thing. I don't care who you think is the least passionate fan base in the league. That fan base deserves better. 25 losses in a row. They're one away from the record. And I'm watching that game last night. I watched like the last 2.5 quarters, and their broadcast has really become so sad. It's them just being like, maybe this could be the one. Could this be the one?
Guys, 58 days, Fred. Really, 58 days.
You know, the Texas Rangers have won a game more recently than the Detroit Pistons have. It is unbelievable. And
they might have one by the time people are listening. They got at Brooklyn on Saturday night.
Maybe your gift was strays from the Nets. What did the Nets do to
four
you?
Four in a row losses for the Nets. They're not playing that well. They got two. Honestly, like, they have two in a row against the Nets. That's probably their most winnable for a while. So,
Fred, do you have a specific team in mind that is going to gift? Is it going to be the Nets? Is it going to be somebody else? Who's going to be so kind as to lay down for the Pistons just so this streak can come to an end?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be the Nets at home. I think they have two straight coming up against the Nets,
yeah,
right? It's one with in Brooklyn, and then they play Brooklyn at home. Maybe it's hard. Players and coaches around the league always say it's really hard to beat a team two times in a row. Maybe they get to 26, they lose in Brooklyn, and then they get that win. But after that, it's at Boston, it's Toronto, and then they're just on the road. Like, it's at Houston, it's at Utah, who they just lost to at home. It's at Golden State, it's at Denver, and they're home for Sacramento. Like, this thing could get up into the 30s by the time they play San Antonio at home on January 10th.
I'm calling one of
them. Which is why I want to gift them a win.
All right. That's a good one, Fred.
I don't know if it's happening. And I just, no one deserves this. It is so sad to watch a broadcast be like, could this be the one? It's so sad to hear Cade Cunningham after a game be like, we're not 2-26 bad. The implication being like, yeah, we're obviously bad, but we're not 2-26 right. bad. And it's like, all you have is the 2-26. Like, you might just be 2-26 bad. It's a very depressing experience following the Detroit Pistons these days. James is losing.
Fred, I like it. And yes, read James's column. Really good stuff. We didn't even design this, but it's going to work out well. I'm going to take the ball and run with it from there because my gift is Pistons related as well. But we're going to get a little more specific, a little more risky, because I think it's time for a little risk in Detroit. I'm not suggesting, you know, a Blake Griffin type trade like back in the day when you run to the middle to avoid being bad and have the road to nowhere. This week, guys, as you know, because he was on our podcast just yesterday, Mike Vorkanoff reported on Zion Williamson's contract in New Orleans. And, you know, this is premature because I think the Pelicans are going to continue to try to make things work in New Orleans. How do we feel about Zion in the Motor City? And maybe
The Pistons giving up to get him?
Here's the thing:
giving them Zion Williams?
No, I mean, in terms of making the money work, you know, you could get there with a Cade Cunningham, Bojan Bogdanovic deal. Now the Pistons have, you know, a boatload of picks, and so then Dave Griffin's going to go to work.
But they don't. They don't. The Pistons.
Where are they at? Clean me up here, Fred. I just looked at it.
In the Christian Wood sign-in trade for Ariza, I think it was, the Pistons sent out a pick and protected it all the way to 2027, which means they have that pick is just protected out forever. So they can really only trade like one first rounder.
Well, in this,
so maybe we need to gift.
What are we doing here? This is the gift episode.
You know what? You would this year's Pistons pick looks very appealing. Is all I was trying to say. Because at this point, they're probably gonna be the worst team. I mean, so that's a high quality pick.
Well, and then from a risk standpoint, like Vork detailed, there's a get out of jail free card, so to speak, on the contract because Zion is signed for, you know, forever at huge money. I get it. It's a calculated risk. But like James wrote in his column, something's got to happen here. Part of this is born out of me it's funny because we talked about John Morant on the show this week and how I was very happy just to see him back doing his thing. It makes me kind of sad when I see incredibly talented guys not getting close to their ceiling. And so Ja being back is a good thing. Zion Williamson being in this Pelicans existence that has had a few high moments, but not many. I just don't like it. And there would be a lot of pressure on him in Detroit because all of a sudden you're franchise centerpiece and that brings with, you know, a lot with it. But I don't know. I think it might be something that could turn things for him and the Pelicans would have flexibility plus, you know, a good team that has played pretty well without him.
Does not sound like a gift for Zion. I'll tell you that much.
I mean,
no, you don't think he can pull it off?
I mean, they're 2-26.
Well, he ain't taking them to the title, but it'd be a reset.
Meanwhile, with the way that Monty Williams is running through his rotations now, Isaiah Stewart's going to be playing over Zion by game 13 that he's there. You're going to be like, wait, why is Wiseman going in over Zion now? And why is Zion playing over Jaden Ivey? They don't even play the same role. This doesn't even make sense.
Right.
Why is Zion playing me and Ivey can't?
You know what? This is going to be a sneak preview for, you know, preemptively promo it and hope that James's schedule lines up with ours. We need to have James on to talk about this streak and everything that comes with it and the human components and what it's like to be in the building. So a lot of Pistons talk. Slater, I'm hoping you weren't going down the Pistons road with your holiday gift. What are you bringing to the party here?
I'd like to gift Alex Caruso to a winning team. I think that would be good. I think he's a winning player that could help like pretty much everybody, right? Is there a team out there that couldn't use him like either as your fourth man all the way down to like your eighth man, depending on, you know, what your rotation currently looks like? So, I mean, you guys can throw out ideas of teams you might want. I think Sam, I'll start with one. I mean, I think he'd fit on the Kings. You know, the Kings kind of need a defensive boost without like a complete offensive downgrade and like, you know, Caruso's limited offensively, but he can hit an open three. He can do a little bit. He's been on a title-winning team with the Lakers, you know, the bubble Lakers. As Chicago potentially hits reset here, I mean, we could gift a LaVine out there. We could gift a DeRozan. But I really think the easiest plug-and-play piece at a 100%. Very reasonable salary is Caruso.
That's the hard part, right, with LaVine and DeRozan is you know, okay. More high profile players, but the fit is such a question with those guys and every team they go to. Alex fits anywhere. the kind of sick side of me wants to see him go back to the Lakers just to see, just that cracks me up because of course there was a lot of criticism when they didn't pay him the first go round. But you know, they'd be happy. He would fit in well. I think he'd be good on the Kings. That's the thing. He's strong on the defensive end and not such a liability offensively. You know, it's a better version of Matisse Thybulle, if you will.
He's shooting 47% from three this year.
Yeah. How many attempts a game?
He's destroying from three this year. A little over three a game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he can hit it over three. Like
the dude will hit. He doesn't take difficult threes. He doesn't take them off the dribble. But if he's rising, it's a good shot. Like, he's so energetic. He's so plug and play. I love Caruso. You know where I think Caruso could be really fun? Orlando. I think he fits in with the identity of that team really well. They could use like a real guy to set up their offense, like a real kind of more natural point guard. I wonder if they'll get in on like the Donovan Mitchell stuff with the way that they've been playing. I wonder if that's a team that we see with that. But like Caruso would be fun with that team, with their defensive mentality and how hard they play, and he'd work well anywhere. I think that's a good choice later.
I like it, guys. Whenever we're throwing the next,
send him to Detroit. Send him to Detroit, and he'll turn around. I'm watching that Detroit game last night, guys. Oh, no. And there's like 4 or 5 minutes left, and you'd think they'd be playing like their lives are on the line, right? And Detroit turns it over, and Utah gets out on the run, and one Piston runs back in transition defense. And then they give up 2 offensive rebounds in the last 2 minutes because they don't box out, and Utah gets second chance points. And I'm like, your lives are on the line. What's happening here? What is happening? Why are you not like going balls to the wall? You might
like a
win
boxing
this game.
Match, Fred, like a boxing match. You're in that round. You're in that ring for 12 rounds, getting your head beat in. Like that's where they're at right now mentally. I mean, I
20,
hear you.
20, but 25 rounds. Sam.
Yes. 25. Indeed. 25 round boxing match. That's a little brutal. Might have a little concussion after that one. It's tough. All things Pistons. You know, there's plenty of bad teams this year. I don't know why we picked on the Pistons, but I will definitely invite y'all to our next holiday party. You bring good gifts. We appreciate you now and always, and to the listeners as well. Enjoy the rest of the pod. Thanks for letting us chime in. Have a good holidays.
Welcome to the Slam and Jam here on the Athletic NBA Show Christmas special. And we've got our guy Jay Skeets with us. Alex Spears is going to hit us with some really tough trivia. I know that I'm not ready for this. I was barely ready for Cavs trivia. I am like not ready for this. Al, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Andrew. You have the first time listening. Every week on Slam and Jam, we do a trivia segment, Andrew versus the Beat, where Andrew goes head-to-head against the Beat writer. This week, he's going against J.E. Skeets, host of No Dunks, and all of the questions are Christmas-themed, specifically Christmas Day game-themed. So we did this last year, came up with 8 questions. Skeets, you're going to start off by just giving me a number between 1 and 8. It'll correspond to a question. If you get it right, you'll at least get 2 points. Get it wrong, Andrew will have a chance to steal. We'll go back and forth till all the questions have been asked and answered. So what is your lucky number between 1 and 8?
Give me number 2. Let's do it.
Question number 2. Now, LeBron James, he may have the most points all time in Christmas games, but he still falls short of this Hall of Famer when it comes to most 30-point games on Christmas Day and most assists on Christmas Day. Who is it?
Holy moly. Total? No. We're talking total points. Can I get a clarification there?
Yes, total points. That's what LeBron leads everyone in. This player, mm-hmm. who is a Hall of Famer, okay. That's a hint. He has the most 30-point games on Christmas, and he also has the most total assists.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day.
Assists. That's what
assists has got to be where I got to focus in on. The 30-point performances, I mean. Okay. Oh, boy. I'm going to go old school with this one. I'll lean into this. Just like I said, Big O, Oscar Robertson.
Skeets? That is absolutely correct.
Let's go. Wow. Let's
2 points.
Go. I know he played a ton on Christmas, so I had that going for me.
He
all right.
played way more than I realized on Christmas Day. Okay, Andrew, board is yours.
Okay, number one.
Question number one. The Los Angeles Lakers currently hold the all-time record for most franchise wins on Christmas Day with 24. We are going to name the other nine teams in the top 10 for most Christmas Day wins. So how this will work, Andrew will give me a team name. Skeets will give me a team name. We'll go back and forth till one of you stumbles. Oh, I think some of the names will be easy if you think about it, but they will eventually get hard. So Andrew, top 10 for most franchise wins on Christmas Day.
Boston.
Boston is number 5 with 16 wins. Ooh. Skeets.
I know they're not good, or they weren't for a while, but they play almost every year. Give me the Knicks, just pure numbers here. The
Knicks are number 2. They also have the most losses, but they're also number 2 in wins with 23.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Teams that would play a lot on Christmas. Sixers.
The Sixers are number 3.
Yeah, that's a good
with
guess.
19 wins.
Oh, that's who I wanted.
Back to Skeets.
Miami? Miami.
Miami is number 11.
Ooh.
With 11 wins, they did not make the top 10.
Oh, man. I thought they didn't lose on Christmas. Yeah, they didn't play enough. Ugh.
The other names, would you believe that the number 4 team, and this kind of goes back to the Big O, it's Sacramento because of all the years with the Cincinnati Royals. The Wizards / Bullets, the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, I should have said
that. One kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I should have just said that.
Portland, the Trailblazers, 14 wins. The Bulls, of course, because of MJ, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix Suns were number 10.
Oh, man. I got cute with it. I should have went with some, Bulls. Man, that was
Bulls.
Right there.
Yeah.
All right, Skeets, the game is tied.
Let's go number 7. Lucky number 7.
Question number 7. Which team is currently on the longest Christmas Day winning streak with 8 straight Christmas Day wins?
Oh, I think I just said this. I think it's the Miami Heat. Eric Spoelstra, I don't believe, is lost.
I walked you right into that one.
Correct. For 2 points.
Very, very good number choosing there.
Yeah.
Question number 7. Okay, Andrew. 4-2. High scoring game. High scoring game.
Wow. Number 3.
Question number 3. Since 1997, the most watched Christmas Day game, which averaged over 13 million viewers, was in this year. Now, you get to choose who answers first. So one of you is going to pick a year, and the other will say, I guess not higher or lower. Older or recent? More. Older or more recent? You understand what I'm saying? So, Andrew, would you like to pick first, or do you want Skeets to pick first? By the way, if either of you get it absolutely correct, you get a bonus point.
I'll have Skeets go. I have a guess, but I don't know.
Okay, Skeets, where would you like to set the bar?
Now, what happens if I correctly name the year? Do I just straight up win?
You will, but I won't reveal it until after I make Andrew meaningously guess.
Oh, I gotcha. I'm going to guess 2004.
2004 is the bar. Andrew, would you like to go more recent or older?
I'll say more recent.
More recent. The highest rated game in recent Christmas Day history was the first matchup post-breakup of Kobe and Shaq in 2004, which means Skeets gets the points and the bonus.
I am cooking right now.
I actually had that in my brain, too. That's what I was going to guess, but I'm like, well, maybe LeBron had one, or maybe so-and-so had one. So I'm like, I don't know. That's the one I was going to guess, too. Because, I mean, I remember sitting there watching it. Andrew Bynum had a spin move on Shaq. Like, come on.
And just like that, it is 7-2.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Dang it.
Where
would you like to go next?
Okay, I'm up. Number 5, please.
Question number 5. Which of the following players has more career points on Christmas Day than Nikola Jokic? I'm going to give you 5 names. Only one of them has more points than Jokic on Christmas Day. The names are Kyle Kuzma, Tim Hardaway Jr., Clint Capella, Jordan Clarkson, Taj Gibson. Once again, it is Kyle Kuzma, Tim Hardaway Jr., Clint Capella, Jordan Clarkson or Taj Gibson. Only one of those players has had more Christmas Day points than Jokic.
And again, we're talking total points here.
Total points.
Christmas. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, okay. I'm like, there's no way it's Capella. I'm leaning towards Kuz and Tim Hardaway Jr. He was on the Knicks, so you know he was playing. Kuzma was on the Lakers for a bit. I'm going to go Tim Hardaway Jr. I don't feel great about it, but let's go.
And you shouldn't, because it's wrong. No. Andrew, you have a chance to steal for 1 point. Damn. The remaining names, Kuz.
Give me Taj Gibson. Capella. Give me Taj Gibson.
Whoa, Andrew, that is correct.
Wow.
Taj Gibson.
What a pull.
All right, Andrew, could you make a comeback here? The board is yours. Three questions left.
Four.
Question number four. The Charlotte Hornets are the only NBA franchise to never play in a Christmas Day game. There are several other franchises, however, who are in the midst of a long Christmas Day drought, having not played on Christmas in well over a decade. Which team has gone the longest since their last appearance on Christmas Day?
Holy, that's tough.
Sacramento?
Whew, Andrew, you're on fire. That is correct.
It's a 16-year playoff drought. Kind of helps me out a little bit.
That is correct. 2003 was the last year. All right, yeah. Skeets, now you got to protect this lead. It's
this is a battle here. All right, give me number six.
Number six. The only non-basketball question.
Oh, no.
It's a simple one. What is the highest grossing Christmas movie of all time?
Oh, God. Why did I have to get this one? Oh, man. I guess Home Alone? I don't know. Home Alone.
It's a great guess. It's number two on the list. It is not one. Andrew, you have a chance to steal 1 point.
Is it the Grinch?
Andrew, that is correct.
Oh, my God. What a battle.
The Grinch.
Oh, God.
Okay, it is now 7-6 going into the final question. If Andrew gets both of these points, he will win.
Wow.
Christmas Day trivia.
Okay.
And it's a doozy. 22 active players have taken at least 25 three-pointers in Christmas Day games. Only two of those players are shooting under 25% on Christmas Day threes. One is obvious. One is not. Can you name them both? And you get 1 point per correct answer.
Westbrook?
That's a good guess.
That is correct.
Yeah.
For 1 point. Oh, can you get the final name, Andrew, which would give you the lead and the win?
Gosh. One is obvious. One is not. I would guess Westbrook's obvious.
Westbrook must have been the obvious.
It's got to be the obvious one. Clay? I don't know.
Andrew? That is incorrect. Oh. Which means Skeets has a chance to win the week. If you can get this name, it is a player, active player, who's taken at least 25 three-pointers on Christmas Day, but he's shooting under 25%. And I did mention one is obvious, one is not. Now, Andrew guessed Westbrook. It's up to you to decide whether that was the obvious one or not.
I think we know.
it's up to you.
It's up to you.
Active player, you said, too, yeah.
Active player.
Could it be him? I guess it could be. I don't know. LeBron?
LeBron, that is incorrect.
Oh, man.
Which means the game is tied. 7-7. Would you like any more guesses?
Let's do one more round of guesses here. Let's do it, Andrew.
Okay. I mean, if it's Luka?
Okay, why don't you give a guess and then you give a guess?
Yeah, I want to figure out whether this is the obvious one or the not obvious one. Is the I would assume Westbrook was the obvious one, though. But, okay, you said Luka. 25 threes. That's a good chunk of threes.
Yeah.
So you had to have played a lot. You had to have been active. had to play in a lot of games. But he's not even, I was going to say Kemba Walker. He's not even active anymore, so I won't say him. I mean, would it be crazy if it's Steph? Would that be insane?
I mean, it's hit my brain like 5 times.
Give me Steph.
All right. So first of all, I'm gonna cut it off at this round of guessing.
Yeah.
The correct answer, shooting under 25% on Christmas threes with at least 25 taken, Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry. Way Skeets wins the week. 8-7.
God, I just in my brain, I'm like, there's just no way. There's just no way that he's done that. There's just no way.
That's crazy. I mean, I guess he must have had like one massive stinker or something like that. Like a
he must.
You know,
have.
Like a 1-for-11 weird Curry game or something.
Yeah. Must have been.
Oh, that's good. What a battle, Andrew.
Boy, that was quite the battle. Hope you guys enjoy your Christmas and happy holidays from all of us here at Slam Jam and No Dunks.
Happy holidays.
Thanks so much for listening to the Athletic NBA Show's Christmas special. Hope you guys have an awesome holiday. Enjoy the basketball, and we'll be with you throughout the holiday season. We'll have a little bit of a different schedule this week, but then we'll be back to normal after the new year. Thanks so much for listening.